chapter 19, got quite a bit of reading to go along with this, but help it make sense to you. It says this is dealing with Lot, Sodom, about the time they destroyed Sodom. It says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and he brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you for these people that came out, that saw a need of putting you first in their life, Lord. We're looking for you to speak to us tonight, speak to our hearts, Lord, and pray we can be encouraged through your word. Help us to be strong. Lord, in the world we're living in today. And we'll just thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message tonight is called Living Little. Living Little. You know, we talk about Lot. You know, we're looking at Lot's life as an overview. This was a guy that lived little. And what I mean by living little is he lived a lot smaller than the plans that God had for his life. He became satisfied with less than what God had for him. And I believe that, you know, there's a lot of Christians that are really living the same way that Lot does. Being satisfied with less than what God could do with us or what God has for us, living smaller than we could and or should. You know, one of the things that we do, we're kind of, there was an advertisement on TV, I think I referred to it a while back, about it has to do with cable or internet or something with their direct TV. And the guy said, well, you know, how come we're living like this? And he said, because we're settlers. You know, we settle for what's, you know, what we have. We just settle. And that's what I think Christians do. We just settle for the way things are instead of striving for the way things could be. You know, when they could be a lot better. And so, you know, we stay small instead of living a transformed life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's not the way it ought to be. I think we ought to strive, you know, to live for more a transformed life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, so sometimes we settle for the way things are and listen to this, this is important, and you'll hear it again. We base our lives on the low levels of circumstances and or custom of, you know, where we live, or country, or just the way, probably wouldn't be country now, it'd be worldwide, custom of the world. We base our lives on circumstances. I'll show you that in a little more detail in just a minute. Now, a natural reaction to, the natural reaction, as opposed to supernatural, is when circumstances dictate or circumstances aren't good, is we withdraw and we reduce. You know, we get withdrawn and we reduce our lives down when things aren't going well. You know, we're not supposed to live in the natural, though. We're supposed to live in the power of the supernatural. So why do we do that? Why is it why do we just settle for the way things are and think there's nothing we can do about it? Or why are we afraid to like step up and step out? And you know, we see Lot, when you just see the way Lot talked to God and the way God talked to Lot, you see a man that's a God-fearing man. I mean, God even spared him and God talked to him about it. And, you know, it talked about the wickedness where he lived and how it wretched his soul, vexed his soul, you know, every day. So here's a guy that really, he knew the Lord. He's not a lost man by any means. He knows the Lord. He knows how to pray. He understands what God can do up to a certain degree, and maybe any degree. So why is he living below the place that God would probably have him live? And why do we live on such a low level of spirituality when we know good and well that God wants us to have more and that God has more for us? Why do we do it? Well, the number one reason why is fear. The number one reason why that people live below their calling is they are afraid in one way or another. Afraid of giving something up. Afraid of change. You know, man, we don't like change for nothing. Look, you know, like I said, I was kidding around with the Sunday school class. I'm teaching the Sunday school class here. Everybody's sitting back there. I'm thinking, move back. They weren't quite all the way to the back. I tried to get them to move back, you know, reverse psychology, but that didn't work. We just get where we don't like to change nothing. I mean, we like our same routine, and that's why we don't want to change. We're afraid of that. And that goes with that, we're afraid of uncertainty. We're just not sure how it comes out. Now, you know, there's a lot that plays in there when you're dealing with God. That's a lack of faith, obviously, if you're not trusting God. And you'll see that in Lot's life if you didn't pick it off already in the text that I read tonight. I'll point it out to you when we get along there. But, you know, we look back when Lot ended up going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to start with. You know, God had blessed him. I mean, him and Abraham had got there, and they were blessed so much. They had so much cattle and so many hired servants between the two of them that Abraham and Lot got together, and they said, man, listen, you know, God's blessed up to the point where the land's not going to hold us all, man. God's poured out a blessing. We can't even receive it. We don't have enough land. He said, let's part a little bit. You know, let's just separate. I mean, we're still going to love each other. We're still going to be friends. We just got to get apart so there's room for you and room for me. Because God, it don't look like God's done blessing. I mean, this is a good problem to have, right? And so Abraham said, hey, Lot, you pick first. So Lot had been blessed by God. And so God, you know, Lot moved down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And I've preached on this point before. I talked about this. He went down towards Sodom and Gomorrah because he saw that the plain was really good grass for cattle. Now, cattle's money, you know, in that economy. I mean, you traded cows, whatever. I mean, you sell them, and it's money. It represents, you know, and that's what he had. That was, you know, the blessing. Sometimes your own blessings get in the way of your spiritual life, and this is a good case of it right here because he had so many cows. So he says, you know, I think Lot looked down there. He knew they were wicked cities. He said, man, these cities, but you know what? Man, that grass looks good. You know, that's a compromise right there, isn't it? Man, I'm going to move down there in that wicked city just because the grass looks good for my cows. Like God couldn't provide good grass. I believe, I'm going to tell you what, the way God was blessing, they could have moved out in the middle of the desert where it never rained but one day all year long. And I believe there had been grass coming up like it was going out of style if he was really trusting God. But so he went down there. So why did he go? You know, what motivated him to move down to Sodom and Gomorrah? He was afraid that if he didn't get down there where all that grass was, that he was going to lose some cattle and therefore lose some money. He had to make sure that them cows were taken care of, prospering. And you know, I know on the human side of things, you got cows, you got to have grass. But you know, he was afraid that things wouldn't be good financially and blessing wise, you know, he wouldn't be as prosperous if he didn't go down there. So once again, he was motivated by a fear of losing something in that sense. You know, later on, and I didn't read that part, but you remember when there was actually a couple angels that came and visited Lot? It was referred to them as men because they looked like men. And they came into the house that the city was so wicked that the Sodomites came down there. And they wanted to get those men and abuse those men. And they wanted them to come out of the house. And Lot was inside there, and they were trying to beat the door down. And Lot said, "Look, I got a couple of virgin daughters never known a man. I'm going to send them out there to you, and you just do whatever you want with them. Just don't hurt these men." Now, why did Lot, that sounds like a pretty dumb thing, right? But what was motivating Lot in that case right there? It was fear. Lot was afraid that they were going to get in the house and get these men. I mean, instead of just saying, "I got the door shut, Lord, just protect us, will you?" Talk to God about it. He said, "I'm going to do something irrational," which I still can't figure out where his head's at on this right here. "I'm going to send my daughters out there to you instead of these men," you know, right there. So what motivated him? Fear. Man, fear can cause you to do some dumb stuff. That'll lead off with that when I get into the points right there. You know, when God was going to destroy the city, look in verse 16 of our text. It said God's going to destroy the city. The angels get to Lot. They got Lot's wife by the hand, his two daughters by the hand. And it said in verse 16, while he lingered, already got a word from God. Two of the most wicked cities ever was on the face of the planet. Already got a word from God, get out of Dodge because we're going to destroy the city. Lot lingers. Why does he linger? I'll tell you why he lingers. He's afraid of what he was leaving behind. He was afraid of losing that old life, he lived there a long time. He'd already become a elder in the city. They'd sit out by the gate and pass judgments and things. So he'd lived there quite a while. He wasn't a stranger to the town. He couldn't stand to see it go. Even though God has said, "Listen, I'm tearing this place down. I'm burning it up." And the angels got to grab onto him and drag him out of town. You know, most all of y'all here, there's none of you here that's going to commit a sin that catches you unawares. I mean, you're going to know that you're sinning, right, for the most part. And how many people sin even though they know that God's going to judge their sin? Now, we're going to get judged on rewards, not for heaven or hell in that case. But, you know, listen, Christian, your sins are going to, you know, they're going to come before you too. And you're going to lose rewards. You're going to answer to God for that. It's not going to be a happy day. You're not going to be saying, "Well, you know, God was a little bit mad, but I'm getting in. Woohoo! You know, I'm in heaven." No, it's going to be a sad day. It's going to be a sad day. But how many Christians sin knowing that they lose blessings? Knowing that they could cost them a lot of things in life? You know, by doing that, even though they're saved people, how many people do that? Why do they do that? Same thing. They're afraid they might miss out on something. If I don't commit this sin, I'm going to miss out on some fun. My flesh isn't going to be satisfied. I'm not going to be as fulfilled as a person. I'm going to, you know, fill in the blank with whatever you can come up with. Why in the world do you sin? Because you think it's going to be fun. And if you don't do it, you're going to miss out on fun. But it's not fun laying around in bed all night long, convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, busting your chops because you committed, you know, knew you wasn't supposed to do it. It's not so much fun then, is it, after that happened? Well, that never happens to me. Well, you lost. Huh? You lost right there. So, as I said, fear causes us to do some stupid stuff. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Number one, fear causes the "I can'ts." Fear causes the "I can'ts." Boy, don't you hear that? He's a Baptist. You know, you see that right off the bat. Look in verse 17, 18. It said, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou on all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Now, this is God telling you where to go. And lots of them, "Oh, not so, my Lord." I got that underlined. Man, you don't tell God no. If you do, you know, you're in trouble. He said, "Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown me in the saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." Now, buddy, there's a lot of stuff going on right here. You mean that God told you to go to a place that you can't go to? Like God tells us to do something that we can't do? God gives us impossibilities. Isn't that happen? But every time God says, listen, do this, and you say, I can't, you're saying, well, you know, God, you're telling me to do something I can't do, and I think God knows better than you, right? God knows that we can. I can't escape to the mountains. I can't go there. I just can't do it. You get the I can't. What's he afraid of? He said, I'm afraid of some evil. Another point, like God's going to save your life out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He could have just burned you up right there with the rest of them. And then he's going to direct you to a place where you're going to get killed by the evil that's there. Like God can't do nothing about that all of a sudden. Now, you know, we see there's a faith issue. He's got a little faith, trusting God. But what happens is he gets afraid and he says, boy, I can't. I can't. And how many, I've heard so many Christians down through the years, when they know good and well they're going against a command of God, or there's a command of God for in the Word of God for an area of their life, and they just say, oh, I just can't. No. It's I won't. It's not I can't, but you think you can't. See, in here, it's here. Fear has given you the I can'ts, and it caused them to be disobedient to God. I mean, you lived in Sodom and Gomorrah all these years. How much more evil can it get? Where are you going to move to that's going to be worse than that? But he didn't have a problem. He had the I can'ts there, but he's got the I can'ts now about moving up into the mountains. I like living in the mountains. Huh? Don't it be cooler, you know, and the plains hot, man? I mean, he says, I can't. Fear causes us to disobey God. And fear causes us to doubt God. So we see it in two cases right there. Another thing fear does to us, it freezes us. You know, old Sodom, it said, Lot in Sodom, he lingered there. He didn't want to leave, man. He's afraid. And you know what? There's so many folks that do nothing when they're afraid. They're just afraid to, you know, you don't know what to do. It's like being in a minefield and you don't know where the mine is. I don't know about you. That'd be a good time to freeze, by the way. You know, you just don't want to make a move. Dracula's coming at you with his teeth out and he's going to bite you on the neck. That's not a good time to freeze. Good time to run, right? And there's not a Dracula. I'm just saying. So there you are. You know, you get froze up. And so a lot of people don't do anything, even when it is doing what's right. Never be afraid to do what's right according to the Word of God, according to what God says. God's not leading us into harm and or evil, even if you can't see that. And look what happens. Look what God says. Here's another freeze up. In verse 22, haste thee, this is God speaking, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. So this is God. He says, you got to hurry up and get there. I can't do anything till you get there. You know, I wonder how many times our fear is keeping us from doing what we ought to do and therefore keeping God from doing what he wants to do. Amen. God said, listen, I can't go on with the judgment here till you get there. And if Lot had froze up, man, it would have tied God's hands up. I mean, technically, God could just do whatever he wants to do, but there's things, listen, God works through us, through people. He doesn't have to, but he does, most of the time. There's a few times he works outside the realm of us, but he wants to work through us. How many things does God want to do in your life, but you got the I can'ts, you froze up because of fear, and therefore God says, well, I can't do it till you get to here. Or really what he's saying is, I'm not going to do it until you get to here. You know, if there's any hindrance to God, it's us. The weather's not hindering them. Satan's not hindering them. The, you know, social being politically correct, the philosophy of man's not hindering God. The only thing is God's people. We're the ones that hinder God. Now, you know, so God, I think there's other things that God wants to do, but he can't do it. Because we got the I can'ts and we got the I'm not moving because I'm froze up. Now another thing, third thing, fear causes a compromise. Now Lot wouldn't go where God wanted him to go. He says, you know, I want to go to this little town. It's a little town. Then it's named Zoar. That means little. That's where he wanted to go. As a matter of fact, the gist of the whole thing is you kind of see that Lot has a bent or a lean towards small, living small. He's living smaller all the way around than what he, so it wasn't ironic that he went there. He said, man, I want to go to this city. What could God have done with Lot? Look what God did with Abraham. And Abraham was different than Lot. Both of them, listen, both of them trusted God. Both of them feared God. They were praying. They prayed to God. They worshiped God, the true God. They were real, what we call real saved people. But look what God did with Abraham compared to what God did with Lot. You know, what could God have done if Lot had completely and immediately obeyed God? What about us? What about us? You know, and Lot didn't mind compromise. I mean, really, that's why he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah to start with. He knew it was a wicked place. He probably thought, great, hey, look what's going on there. But, hey, man, the grass is good, you know. The grass is really good, so I'm going to go on down there and I'm going to live and raise my family. And you see how that turned out with his daughters. He put up with all that just to have good grazing place for cattle. I think one of the fears with Lot was afraid of a lifestyle change. This is what happens. Sin, and really not obeying God. Of course, not obeying God is sin and fear. And if fear motivated you not to obey God, you're not living in reality. You're living in a perceived world that you've got out there in front of you. You think this is how things really are, but it's really not a reality. And he had convinced himself, I can't go live in the mountains. Oh, man, I've talked to people. There's been some people I've been blue in the face, and they're saying I can't, and I'm saying, oh, you can. You won't. No, man, they can't see it. They can't see it. And you're telling them, look, I know you can do it. It's been done, you know. And so they convince themselves. And there's people now, man, oh, I could never, you know. I've been talking to some of them. I'm just trying to get the men to pray with their wives. I've been talking with some guys for 6-8 months, and guess what? They're still working on it. Still working on a simple thing like praying with their wife. Oh, preacher, get out of here. Tell me you can't do it. Good night. Run your mouth till your ears fall off with everything else under the sun, but you can't pray with your wife. Convince yourself they can't do it. Have a heart attack. I got guys in here now, buddy. If I looked at them like I was going to call on them to pray, they'd pass out. Pass out. Get weak kneed and wobbly. Pass out. Say they. But you know what? Really get down to it. They can talk, right? They do it, you know. You get right down to it. Could they do it? Yeah. But they've convinced themselves they can't do it. They've convinced themselves that they can't. You can't do that. And so, you know, listen to this. He had lived in the mountains before when he was living with Abraham. They were up in the mountains because they looked down on the plain and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah down there. He'd already lived in the mountains and God had blessed him beyond measure. How did he go from living there to finally now determining in his mind? It's not a reality. How many of us are not living in reality? It's not a reality. I can't live in the mountains. Huh? He's convinced himself this. He had lived in the city for such a long time. He's convinced he can't live there. How many people have done so little with God? They have lived so small, below the place that God would have them live. They've done it for so long. They have convinced themselves they'll never rise above that place spiritually in their life. How many people? Probably most. Really, probably most Christians. And they've gotten to a place and they convince themselves, that's it. There's nothing, I don't see nothing else, or I can't get to another place, I can't get to that place. They've convinced themselves they can't change, and that God can't do anything with them, and they're going to have to use somebody else. You know, you read about these great men and women of God that God used in the past, and you, oh, that could never be me. They were just, read all their lives. Who was a great person? I mean, probably a couple guys that were more educated than the average. Paul was probably, and Luke. Luke was a doctor. The rest of them were fishermen. And, you know, if they weren't fishing, they were watching sheep. I mean, You don't have to have a PhD to do either one of those. This is what you do when you can't do nothing else. I mean, when you're too lazy to fish, which is pretty lazy, you just watch sheep. I mean, what else is there? You know, there's nothing to it. And these weren't like super Einstein intelligent, super, you know, the couple big guys. Solomon was pretty big, Samson, but the rest of them were just average old people. That's who God used. Like I said, it wasn't a reality. But see, living in sin blinds us to reality. And if you're not trusting God, that is really a sin. We talk about all these other great big sins. Not trusting God is a sin. But look, God had his ways. Look what happened in verse 30. This is crazy. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. He just got done arguing with God before and says, I can't live it. I can't do it. So he goes down to Zoar. How come he moved? What motivated him? Look at the rest of the verse. It says, and Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. What's motivating everything that Lot does? Fear. Everything that Lot does. It's not the direction of God or God's hand upon him. And I'm not saying God didn't get him to the mountain, but I'm saying it's fear. And even God says, well, look, if fear is going to motivate you, I'll use fear to move you where I want you to go. But it's fear. Everything God, I'm afraid I better go here. I'm afraid I'm not going there. I mean, every time you turn around, well, I can't live in the mountains. I'm just afraid. Then he goes to Zoar. He lives there. All of a sudden, something, it doesn't say what. He's afraid to live there. He said, well, I'm afraid now. Hey, I'm going to the mountains. And so now he goes to the mountains, the ones that he said he was afraid. Fear just moving him everywhere. How many people go through life? And that's what's moving them around from everything they dictate they do is or don't do is dictated by fear. Afraid. Let me ask you this. What's motivating your life? What really motivates your life? What's the thing that causes you to go in a direction or not go in a direction? Is it fear? Circumstances? Culture? Or is it God? I mean, think about it. What is it? It's something, you know. I don't believe that Lot was blessed like he could have been or would have been if he had been obedient in the first place. And listen, first place. Oh, delayed obedience is really not obedience. Oh, he finally got to the mountains. But it wasn't like, yeah, Lord, okay, yeah, I'll do it. You know, this ain't a guy that's charging, you know, out to the gate there when God says, listen, go on down. You know, when he first said he went to the mountains, he said, great, man, that's where God wants me to go. That'll be a great place. I'm going to get away from here as far as I can. No, he didn't do that. Fourth thing is this, fear will lead you to less. Fear will lead you to less. Now he says he's living in a cave. God wanted him to go to the mountain. He didn't want to go. He went to Zoar. Now he got afraid. So now he goes to the mountains. And now it says that he's living in a cave. The word for cave is the same word for naked, which means you don't have anything. It means you don't have anything. He started out so prosperous that him and Abraham couldn't even live that close together. He had so much cattle and so many servants that he had to separate. And you know what? He went where he wanted to go, and he knew good and well that that's not a place that God would have approved of. But God, in his mercy and long-suffering, he let him go down there. He went down there to Sodom and Gomorrah and lived. And now God had to come and destroy the city. Guess what? He lost his home and everything that he lived in all those years. That got destroyed. And I don't know what happened to all the cattle and everything. I said it burned up the grass and all that. I got a feeling they died in all this. And then he didn't go where God directed him. I believe he went onto the mountains. I think God would have blessed him. Everything come back up. He didn't do it. He went to Zoar and then he went to the mountains. And now it says he's living in a cave. And he don't have nothing. It's him and his two daughters. That's it. They said there wasn't any more men around. There's no servants, there's no cattle, there's nothing. Fear will lead you to less. Fear will lead you to less. Motivated his whole life by fear and circumstances. Lost about everything at Sodom, the place he thought was good. He thought it was going to be good, but it was bad. Along the way, he lost his testimony with his family. The Bible tells us that his son-in-laws, when he went and told him, he said, look, God's going to judge this place. It said they looked at him or responded to him like one who mocked. That means that they thought he was kidding. They didn't even believe him. That tells you that he didn't have any testimony with his family. He lost that all along the way. His son-in-laws wouldn't believe it. His daughters committed incest with their father. Why did they commit incest with their father? Because they were afraid that there wasn't any man, they wasn't going to have any husbands, and they were afraid that there wouldn't be any heir to carry on the family name. Guess what? You live your life motivated by fear and circumstances, your children are going to live their life motivated by fear and circumstances. You know, acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree. That's what they saw. So now they're motivated in the same way. Motivated by fear, motivated by circumstances. Living little is going to lead you to less. John Maxwell said this, thinking determines belief. Belief incites expectation. Expectation forecasts attitude. Attitude motivates behavior, and behavior creates outcome. Everything happened with Lot the same way. The long-lasting outcome was that the children that his two daughters had were the beginnings of the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they were enemies of God's people, even to this day. Enemies of God's people. Just all this because instead of being their life dictated by God or directed by God, they let fear, circumstances, culture direct their life. And I'm afraid too many Christians are really doing the exact same thing. Let me ask you this. Are you living?